Hello!
Oh! Welcome to Movie Banter!
Welcome to Movie Banter. This is our worst films ever, part two.
Part the sequel, because sequels are always a good idea in cinema.
Oh, they're going to be so much better.
There are some bad sequels coming up.
Mm. Oh, yes. But yes, the second half of our worst films ever.
I'll delve into the cinema bucket.
Yes.
We don't mean popcorn. So, more bad films follow.
And if it seems to jump in slightly abruptly, then apologies, it's because we recorded it in one and then split it into two, so we thought we'd divide it in two. But as a result, it might jump in a bit quickly, but just go with it.
It's kind of like retrofitting when they do the 3D thing after the event. They think, actually, we want to make it 3D.
Yeah, let's do that.
Instead, we've gone, actually, we think that we bottled on far too
long. Or else we've deliberately done it in the style of a bad film, appallingly edited.
Exactly, yeah.
It's deliberate.
We should just jump in deliberately
choice.
Awful.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
We'll just replace one of the cast members halfway through.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Jim Rotten can come in.
But enjoy.
If my old housemate Danny Buckler were here, he would have many to contribute in that he has seen so many bad films. He thrives upon it. In fact, I think a good four of these I've seen with him. But he would often talk about a film that I cannot remember the name of it, but it's a Jerry Lewis film,
right,
which was never made. It was in development for quite some time.
Okay.
And it was about, I think, I may be wrong on this, you can look it up, and some people may be yelling at their iPods going, I know what it's about. But I believe it's about, he plays a guy in it, and bear in mind, Jerry Lewis, who always played, kind of like Robin Williams, had mostly played the fun parts.
Mm.
And this was him doing the Robin Williams, the dark part, where it was going to be a big surprise that actually he was not the happy man in this. And I think the idea was that he played this clown who the Nazis employed to entertain the kids as they were being led to the gas chambers.
Right.
And it was all done kind of, I don't know whether it was kind of done for laughs, and that's why it could never really have been made. But it was never made, and I think it sounds a very interesting film. It's well worth a look. It's on Wikipedia, I believe, as well as many other places. Jerry Lewis' film about then, his version of Life is Beautiful.
Right.
And
so it was just sort of conceived of, but never actually...
I think it was in production,
And
they just could never quite get it to work. Worth a look, though.
On a similar, vaguely related note, in terms of films that were sort of made but sort of not, and apparently dreadful, is the Fantastic Four film that was made in something like the mid-90s or the early 90s, which had a proper cast. I don't think it necessarily any names in it, but it was a professionally made film made by Fox or whichever studio had the rights, purely because, and I think the people involved never knew that it wasn't going to be released, but whoever had the rights had to make a film before a certain date.
I see. So
or they'd lost the rights.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just made, it was something like a $2 million budget.
Really?
Just wafer-thin budget.
Oh, no.
Made a film which I think everyone involved with thought, hey, we're making a Fantastic Four film.
Yeah.
And then it just got shelved. And it was this low budget. And there are clips of it on YouTube.
Oh, really?
And it's dreadful. But it was just made for the, because they had to make something.
Yeah.
And then you got the real Fantastic Four film, which wasn't much better.
Yeah.
But still.
I can never work out when they... there was the rise of the Silver Surfer, wasn't there?
Yes.
Is that a knowing reference to the fact that old people use the internet more often?
No. The Silver Surfer is a comic book character created in the 60s.
See, I thought so. But then, before that film came out, I'd seen headlines saying that there is a rise of the Silver Surfer in the fact that old people are using the internet more often.
Yes. Well, there may be a Silver Surfer comic called The Rise of the Silver Surfer, possibly. But, but it's also just sort of a phrase which makes sense.
Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah,
so.
I do.
I've just found that Jerry Lewis film was called The Day the Clown Cried.
Okay.
Well worth a look. Mm. Anyway. Yeah.
Barrel of laughs across the board.
Apparently so. Do you want to take
Well, I've covered Max Payne. Well, you can move on to
yours. Okay, I'll do one of mine then. Broken Flowers...
Is this Bill Murray?
Very little to say on it, because it was not one of the films that are so laughably bad. It just bored me so much.
Yeah.
Just so bored
it
by
did
it.
Look like one of those
films. Nothing happens. It's one of those where... And I've not been a fan of... Is it Wes Anderson?
Yes.
Who does your Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Some people just love them. Some people... Raw Tenenbaum, some... I just cannot get them myself.
Even Fantastic Mr. Fox left me a little bit. Well, it's all right, but... Hmm.
And this one, I don't think this is a Wes Anderson film, but it's shot in that style, and Bill Murray would have that sort of bit of his career where he'd do those films.
Yes.
And I'm hoping he's out of it. I hope he's got it out of his system now, and he starts being funny.
Well, he did Zombieland.
He did Zombieland, which is good in that, you know. So, Broken Flowers was just one of those. I think it's him revisiting a woman he once slept
with,
something, and he's got a daughter, maybe. I don't know.
He revisit lots of exes? Or
I fell asleep. It's so... boring.
Yeah, even the trailer, I remember, boring me.
Yeah. And for Bill Murray, you think he's a good guy, and he doesn't do many films. He's not like He could easily be a Will Ferrell who just does bad films because he's offered the money for it. But he clearly is quite picky.
Apparently he has no agent or no publicity.
Is that right?
Or anything. No, really? he just you know, people know who he is. Yeah, if they want him to be in something, they get in touch with him and then he decides.
Bill@BillMurray.com.
Well, exactly.
Will you be in my film? Yeah, all right.
Yeah. which is quite a cool way to meet. My next two, I'll ramp in together. Just because, again, it's the boring thing, which is the Virgin Suicides and Napoleon Dynamite, which are not two obvious partner films. But, I mean, Napoleon Dynamite especially is loved by loads of people and quoted ad infinitum. But
didn't get
both
it.
Films, I saw sort of a big group of us watching a film, thought, hey, we'll watch this. I don't know why the Virgin Suicides would have rented en masse, because from what I can remember, it's not a particularly laugh-a-minute, crowd-pleasing film. But the thing I just remember in both cases... sitting in a group, lots of, you know, big group of friends, known each other for years, would normally chat and laugh through stuff, both films sitting in virtual silence before the film ended and just thinking, right, let's do something else.
I know.
And it just put everyone into a coma in both cases and just thought, lost everyone universally and thought, that's not a sign of a good film.
Not good, is it? Not good.
No. Yeah. So, and if you're a lover of Napoleon Dynamite, I apologise, but it just left me utterly cold.
Should we do a couple more emails? We'll do a couple more because you know we've got a few other really awful films to waffle on about yet. Now I think the name is Nitile.
No, I think it's Nitle.
Nitle.
It looks like T L E.
Nitle says L A Takedown.
Ah yes.
To appreciate just how shite it is, it must be watched with heat. The exact same film as Heat, just made with crap actors and director.
Yeah, now I read this and then had to take issue with one part of it, which is that crap actors, maybe. Crap director, not entirely fair, because it's the same director. It's Michael Mann directed both this and Heat.
Yeah.
He just got a bigger budget for Heat, so spent it on more money, on more actors, or better actors.
I think it is... I think I have seen another Takedown.
It's a TV movie.
And it's not as good by long stretch.
No, no.
A long stretch. But I think if you see it... As a pilot for his film, or as
I think because it's a TV movie. I don't know if it's the first thing he. I don't. It can't be the first thing he ever did. No, because I think he made. Didn't he? He did a Manhunter, didn't he? Which is the first Hannibal Lecter.
He
film,
did, yes.
Which
did
I think was before LA Takedown.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
I think it was.
But this, I mean, LA Takedown. It's just because it's relatively low budget, but a TV movie, and it's still the same story as Heat, which is relatively good. And I had it on video years ago, and I remember it. Compared to Heat, it's obviously rubbish, because lots of things are compared to Heat. But I don't remember it being all that bad. But the trouble is, if you do compare it to Heat, if you've seen Heat and then see this, it will just look like an appallingly...
There's kind of no point in watching it now.
Yes.
Now there's a Heat.
Yeah.
There's no real
and
point.
And Heat is about twice as long, but for lots of good reasons. Yeah. It's just so much more expanded. Yeah, so there is no reason to ever see it now.
Hmm.
I think to say it's terrible is a bit harsh, but I also haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah,
so it could be a lot worse than I remember. But it is the same director, so I need to take slight issue with that. But the acting is significantly lower caliber because it's not Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
No, exactly, which is always going to be a bit of a problem. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And my next film on the list, I'm going to go for The Cell. Jennifer Lopez film.
Yeah, see, I remember Jenny hates this as well.
I actually, in a similar way to The Fountain, it was just too bonkers for me.
Yeah.
It was, I think, some woman who gets inside someone's head or a guy gets inside her head or something.
No, it's Jennifer Lopez being a... Because I actually saw a bit of this on TV recently, and it's not... I can see it's not to all taste. I don't think it's terrible, but it's not good. It's Jennifer Lopez being a psychologist who sort of gets brainwaves transferred into a serial... It was a guy who kidnapped a girl, and no one knows where she is. And they capture the serial killer, who is either shot or in a coma or isn't talking
something.
So she has to go into his head, which is then bonkers.
Yeah. A bit weird.
Yeah, and they clearly started off with all the great visuals and then tried to make a film out
of it. They clearly thought, we've found this great new program on our computer that does all this stuff. Let's write it around that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it worked really myself.
No.
But there you have it.
No. Well, on a vaguely similar note, in terms of visuals, but not sure, is Jumper. Which is Hayden Christensen and I think Samuel L. Jackson. Clearly, and not Billy Elliot, Jamie Bell.
Yeah, Jamie Bell. Yeah.
And they clearly, again, I think they wanted it to be a new franchise.
Yeah, it was
and
a
the,
nice
the premise
idea,
sounds quite good. And I remember, I don't know if, I think Jumper, no, it wouldn't, it's older than this podcast, I think. I don't think I would have reviewed it. But the thing, more than any other film I think I've ever seen, Jumper, I've never made a film, can't claim to know all about it.
Yeah.
But every single bit of Jumper, I remember watching it thinking, I would have done it differently and better.
Right.
Not, I mean, not the, the visuals were all very good, and acting, I can't act at all. Mm. I mean, direction wasn't even terrible. It's just the story didn't fit together. And every decision about what the characters were going to do next, or how they were going to treat things, or how the plot unfolded, I just kept thinking, no, it shouldn't, no, that should happen, or something else. And you, if you do that, then it fits in with that. And every aspect of it could have been improved upon very easily.
I'm pretty sure we have to, I think we did it on one of our first few episodes, actually.
Just never, because it's oldish, so it'll be in there somewhere.
Maybe not.
But anyway, but if not, you can dig it out.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, it was just, it was flawed on every level.
Yeah.
And as a result, very disappointing.
Parting Shots.
Yeah, now I know the title, but I don't know what it is.
A Michael Winner film. I'm Michael Winner. I was sitting at my usual table at the restaurant. Michael Winner film, who has been known for making some awful films,
yes,
and some adverts. And that's about it. In fact, one of our other...
Didn't you do Death Wish?
Well, yeah, in fact, Ian Fox has emailed in saying, after considerable research, I can declare Roadhouse and Death Wish 3 to be the best worst films ever made.
Oh, Roadhouse? Death Wish 3 and well,
he said the best worst films ever
well,
made.
Roadhouse is a sort of B-movie, but right. It's very likeable.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the Death Wish films, I think, go off.
I think they do witter down. But and Michael Winner, maybe in his day, in the 70s and 80s, he had, you know, something more there. But yeah. I think, yeah, Parting Shots is probably about 15 years old now. The plot, I think, is Chris Rea is a photographer.
Oh, is this the one that Michael Winner basically directed by leaning out of his back window?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
It's got a good cast. It's well, apart from the fact that Chris Rea, the musician,
yeah,
is the lead role in this. And I think he's told he's got a day to live because of some illness. And so he goes around, he's a photographer, and he goes around shooting people, not photographically, but gun-wise.
Right.
And just anyone who has crossed him in his life and he wants to get revenge on. And it's got Felicity Kendall in it. I think John Cleese. It's friends of Michael Winner who were around. And it's just, it's not a film. Like you say, it's just out the back window. Between dinners, I think I'll do this. He's... oh yeah, it's not a film. It's not even a film. It shouldn't even be the Lost. It's not a film.
No,
in fact, I take it back. Let's not banter about it.
fair enough. See, I'm continuing the boredom thing. I'm going to go with The Wedding Planner.
Oh, okay.
Which is Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey. Mm. Just because, I mean, a lot of people hate romantic comedies, which is fair enough. It's a blanket dislike of them. But I like romantic comedies, and yes, they're predictable, and you can normally see how it's panning out within the first minute. And if it doesn't, then it's annoying. And if it does, then you end up thinking, well, it was predictable. But the right kind of romantic comedy, you know, it's a bit funny. You get the likeable people. It's just, you know, 2 hours of just thinking, hey, it's nice people. Happy things happen to them. It's what you want on occasion.
Yeah.
The Wedding Planner, I wanted nasty things to happen to them. And it just, it's just boring. And I don't know if it's Jennifer Lopez's fault. Matthew McConaughey is normally quite laid back, but can be quite likeable. But I think he's phoning it in. She's talentless, which is a bit harsh, but in this... And I can remember virtually nothing about it, except that it was every cliche possible, and it was incredibly dull. There's some reference to M&Ms in it, which I think, I don't know if they want the colours or to separate them or something, but that's...
You could only paint with the colours you've been given.
Well, very much so. And it's things like that, they were just desperately trying to crowbar in personality to the character. Oh, they like M&Ms. But the fact that I can't remember it is telling, because it's just been purged from my mind as just a dull rom-com. Although, as is, The Accidental Husband has just suddenly popped into my brain.
Uma Thurman.
Yes, and that was another one, which is just predictable, straight down the line. No one's making much effort.
Yeah.
And you just... You want someone to go on a sort of mass-killing spree in the film, just to liven it up a bit.
Well, that, I think, just looking at the list now, I think Jennifer Lopez then is the only person to have appeared twice.
Yeah,
on the list,
that's quite telling.
And one we haven't got on either list actually is Gigli.
Yeah, although
but that is obviously on many people's lists.
Yeah, but having seen it, I remember seeing it. I saw it with a couple of other people, and we were all a bit confused as to why it's so hated. And I think it's more cultural hatred of sort of Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck being overexposed at the time, and also I think it being overpitched as it's going to be brilliant, and it wasn't. Is it Christopher Walken is in it? Or is it Al Pacino or someone?
I haven't seen it.
Someone is in it, sort of a cameo.
And all I know is the line, gobble, gobble.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's not a good film by any stretch. I'm not saying it's brilliant, you should rush out and see it. But it's not a one-star appalling mess of a film. It's just not a good film. But I think it's one of those, because lots of people went to see it, or lots of people were told it was good, there's been a slightly overweighted backlash against it.
It's the 93rd worst film as voted for by people on the IMDb.
No, right. Yeah. Which I think that's harsh.
I'm delighted. I haven't seen any of the top of the worst 100 on the IMDb. Number one worst film rated of all time is Super Baby's Baby Geniuses 2, apparently.
Fair enough. There you go. Which does, the trouble is, I think you can tell a lot looking at the IMDb by the number of votes. Because lots of these have got a couple of thousand votes, and that's because they're terrible, low-budget films. Mm. And the films that are on here with loads of votes, I start to distrust a bit.
Well, true.
Because Gigli is one of them. And this, and Super Baby has got, like, 20,000 votes. And I think that's people who've seen it's on the bottom of the list and then add their vote to it.
Bizarrely, there were three Santa-based films the worst 100. There's Santa Claus from, I think, 1965. Santa with Muscles.
Right.
Which is rather odd.
Is that, that's not Arnie in a beard?
I don't know. Where's from the 60s. I don't think so. And Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Now that sounds awesome.
Which I think I want to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd want to go and see that.
I'll be bringing up my kids as well. And then Santa Claus Conquered the Martians with muscles.
What, is my throwing shellfish at them?
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, see, I think that's the expectations thing again. If it's a film about Santa Claus, you're expecting a base level of Christmas cheer. And if it doesn't even fit that, then you're going to lose interest.
Adrian Hyatt says, worst film of all time is a tough one, but I think I'd like to throw Beastmaster 3, The Eye of Braxus into the running.
I think a subtitle is important for really awful films. Because like Problem Child 2, I'm sure, had one. And like Baby Geniuses, what was it?
Super Baby Geniuses.
See, that's another one. It's a subtitle one.
We've got Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonders.
Oh, yes.
Quite a good one.
Manos, The Hands of Fate is a classic.
The incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed up zombies! !!
Right,
I like that. Invented punctuation.
Yeah. So that is good. So some uncertainty as to whether they became zombies or not.
But yeah, it's Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain. It's that sort of.
Yeah.
You've got to have a long title like that. Looks.
Yeah.
There's a new one out about owls, isn't there?
Oh, no, that's meant to be.
Legend of Bill Gurley.
Yeah, it's like a legend of, is an apostrophe in the middle. But I think that's actually meant to be quite good.
But it's got about 20 words in the title.
Well, yeah,
it's not a good sign.
It's a slight problem. Yeah, no film. And also, running a film website, any really long title film is just a pain.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't fit, it throws off the stats.
It's no good.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl is bad enough.
It's pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah.
Every film title should be about 4 words long. That's it.
That.
If you can't get it across in that,
exactly,
then you've done something wrong.
Yeah, like Jumper.
I'm not saying that a short title makes it good, but yeah, you just need the gist. With that, well, your one on your list is a subheading.
Oh, it has, yes. What, Shark Attack 3 Megalodon?
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking about there? That's an awful film. But that, I would put that in the category with Ice Angel, in that it's worth a look because it is so awful. It's clearly Jaws ripoff, totally.
Yeah.
In the same way that Piranha 3D fairly recently tried to do that. But Piranha 3D got at least a cinematic release and had a bigger budget.
And it's apparently quite
names
fun.
In it. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Shark Attack 3 does not have a budget. It has very much not a budget. It has a negative budget. You can see just how small a budget there is on the screen because, you know, there is. It's about a megalodon. It's about a giant shark, not just a normal shark, a giant shark.
Right. How big are we talking?
At one point, it swallows a boat.
Right. It swallows a boat. Right.
Gulps it down whole. A big boat. Titanic. It's huge. And as a result, they couldn't just, I don't know, hire a shark and get it to do things in the water. They couldn't do any of that. They had to film a shark and then have a boat and then have people on the boat going, and then superimpose the shark going, hom. And
right.
Then they go, oh, we're eaten by a shark. And that's just how bad it is. It's awful. And it actually stars, in the lead role, it's actually John Barrowman. Who is now known to many, particularly in this country. I don't know if he's known in America as well, because I think he's half American. But, yeah, John Barrowman is known over here. He's been an actor. He was in Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Yes, Jack Harkness.
Yeah. He's a stage actor. He's been on various things on Broadway and in the West End. He's also a game show host sometimes, musical theatre star.
Yeah. So he's now quite famous, but this is probably before.
But I think he wants to forget about Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
Yeah.
Because it does have a classic line in it. Well, okay, you need to, when I pause, can you do like a beep thing, like a sensor thing?
Right.
But instead of going beep, do go meow, okay?
Right, okay. Yeah, because I know what the line is, yeah. And it fits.
Yeah, okay. So they've it's the end of the first, like, half an hour into the film, so it's not the big finale thing, but they've defeated the shark briefly. So, I don't know, they punch it on the nose, it's run away, whatever, down the street. I don't know. It's they've battled the first bit, and it's John Barrowman as the adventurer, and a hot woman as a scientist.
Right.
And she, they go, wow, yeah, we defeated the shark. Woo, brilliant. And she says, what should we do now then? And he says, well, and there's been no sexual chemistry at all up there. No romantic hints whatsoever. And he says, what should we do now? What I'd really like to do is I'd like to go and eat your...
Meow.
Exactly. Now, that is not censored in the film.
Yes.
And then instantly it cuts
to
them...
And he doesn't say eat your cat either. That's a bit weird. Yeah.
Instantly they cut to them in the shower, kind of fulfilling his wish.
Right.
And it's just the barefaced, just balls of that's not in the film.
Yeah.
of just doing that.
Just throwing that in there.
There's because... no other films would have like hints of romantic interest throughout and then subtly do this.
But even if you're going to end up with a sex scene in a shower, you don't need that line to lead into it.
You don't. Just... So I think it knows how bad it is. And for that only reason, I'd say it's worth a look if you like your bad films.
Yeah. Nah, fair enough. Also, my last one is ending on a slight whimper rather than a bang, but it's Hostage, which is Bruce Willis when a family gets held hostage and he has to break in. But the whole through the entire film starts off with a terrible score, and the fact that you notice the score isn't a good sign. I think even before there's any tension at all, someone drives into a driveway or comes home at the end of the day, and there's this huge dun-dun-dun kind of music. You've just pulled in the driveway. That's not... There's no obvious... but the whole way through the film, I was just thinking, Panic Room, Die Hard. Panic Room, Die Hard. Panic Room, Die Hard. And that is just those two films smashed together.
Not so good.
And coupled with awfulness. It was, it's just a dire film.
Yeah. My last one, I'll go Truth About Charlie. About Charlie, which is a Mark Wahlberg and Tandy Newton.
Oh, actually, so Mark Wahlberg actually appears twice. Truth About Charlie and Max Payne.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? There you go.
So if ever you got a film with Mark Wahlberg and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, dear. I won't be seeing that film.
That'd be a charisma vacuum.
I will not be seeing that film.
Yeah.
It's a remake of the film Charade, which was lovely.
Yeah, one of your favourites.
Which was done with Audrey Hepburn.
Mm.
And the actor whose name I can't remember.
Cary Grant.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah. And was a really good film, and just lovely and very 60s and kitsch and good. And kind of linking back to what we said at the start about Batman. A film that belonged in the 60s maybe with that sort of kitsch nature.
Yeah.
But they thought, no, we shall remake it and make it bad. And it was awful. Mm. Absolutely awful. Just twists that you can see coming a mile off, whereas in the original it had humour and charm and class, and the modern remake, not so good. So I think overall message to there, don't remake the good films.
Yes. Leave them
Leave them alone.
Yes. A couple of emails to finish off with.
Yeah.
We've got one from Sean Jakes. Jack. 0 out of 10 films. Black Sheep and Slither. Slither? Oh, sorry, I've read this before. They're neither funny nor scary, both just pointless. And Alvin and the Chipmunks, need I say more? I've not seen Alvin and the Chipmunks, nor have I seen Black Sheep, but I can see it'd be awful. Slither, I loved.
Oh, there you are.
It's Slither, I would go so far as to say it is a modern day Tremors. It does pick up and run with the Tremors baton of... Knowingly B-movie horror. Because there are some genuinely... Because we saw it, I think, Halloween last year. Mm. Went around to a friend's house and watched a couple of films. And I brought along Slither. And it did get a mixed response, admittedly. Mm. But it was... People were properly grossed out by it at times. But it's also... It's Nathan Fillion and Elizabeth Banks and Michael Rooker being freaky. And Nathan Fillion just has lots of brilliant lines. And it's just... If you like funny swearing, there's a lot of that in it. And I really like Slither, personally.
Next time, just bring Tremors.
Well,
it's a good Halloween movie.
No, it's true.
Yeah. And Jim Vine finally says, I know what you did last summer. Thanks.
What about the film?
It's showing off now. And The Patriot.
See, The Patriot I've never seen.
Awful films.
I'd imagine as a Brit, I'd probably find The Patriot quite offensive.
Yeah, I think quite annoying.
But much as Scottish people may be annoyed by Braveheart to the falseness of it. But anyway.
And that's it. We've battled through a lot of awful movies there.
We're thinking 1 minute. That didn't work out.
So we would like to defy you to go and watch at least one of those. And,
that is true.
Let us know what you thought.
Yeah.
That would be good.
But so, just don't let it be Crash.
I don't know if we'll do a Desert Island Flicks this week because they're all just terrible. Pick an awful
film.
I
don't
want to
pick
really.
My worst ever.
I couldn't even tell you which I hate the most of all of those.
No, because they're all dire. I would not choose to watch any of them again ever.
on this particular Desert Island Flicks, then we choose no films.
Exactly. I'd rather die alone, not take anything on the Desert Island with me, than have to watch any.
Yeah. So there we are. Good. Yes. Well, any thoughts on those or any other films that you've loved or hated, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes, or tweet us @moviebanter.
Indeed.
And we will see you. Well, you'll hear us.
Yeah. We'll never see you.
We'll never see you.
Unless you send in a picture.
Well, yeah. But
we'll, put it on the gallery.
Exactly. Up on the fridge.
Yeah, and then throw darts at it.
Yes. But thank you for listening. We will see you, as it were, next time.
Bye.
Bye.